Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a special edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. We are here at the 2009 Kansas City Royals Fan Caravan at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. The Royals are here. Kansas City Royal Hall of Famer Dennis Leonard, along with current Royals Mike Aviles, Mitch Meyer, Luke Hochaver, Joel Goldberg, and announcer with the Royals here as well. And we're going to be talking with him in just a little bit.
Yeah, looking forward. Joel, they expanded the TV coverage last year, which Joel was a part of, and I know a lot of people really liked that on Fox Sports. Brought you post-game comments from the manager and from some of the star players on on-field interviews as well. And so we'll talk to him about that. And, of course, so much more TV coverage was last year for the Kansas City Royals, and that only helps the financial status as well.
And we always like financial status, and there's no doubt about that. And Joel Goldberg joins us here on this special edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, part of the Royals Caravan. Joel, hey, welcome to the microphone. Thanks for sitting down and doing a little radio with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, the financial side is always good, and then the nachos are always good, too. It looks like you guys have that figured out.
We love food. Keep an eye on that plate when he gets out of here, too, would you, Daddy?
I may just take that and head right to the bus.
First part of the Royals Caravan, and we were just talking about the expanded coverage with the network deal and television and post-game show and pre-game show and weekend. There's a lot more going on with Royals coverage now. How has that helped the team, and how has that helped the fan base around the team?
I think everybody wins. I mean, I know that when the Royals signed their deal with Fox Sports Kansas City, I know they wanted to increase their exposure. They wanted to be able to give fans more of what they were seeing in other cities. If you go to other cities, every team has a pregame show, every team has a postgame show, every team has a lot of great resources throughout the game, and I think that they wanted to be able to do that. And so last year, for being year one, I know that it was my first year in Kansas City, but we got a lot of positive feedback about being able to see more. And you know, I mean, for me personally, to be on a postgame show with Frank White every home game and have Split or Ryan LaFever for the road games, it's a pretty good gig to walk into.
How's that little run doing?
Which one?
LaFever.
I guess he is the little one, because I guess you probably weren't talking about Split. He's doing well. I talked to him, I don't know, maybe last month or so, and, you know, a lot of us just kind of shut it down in the off season, and he probably works harder than anybody I know. I mean, you know, not only does he do our 140 games, but if he's not doing a game on TV, he flips back over and does the radio, plus all the preseason and spring training games. So he's the hardest working guy I know, and then shuts it down, and he'll be back at it.
He does, loves it.
And he's good at it too.
Yeah,
Joel, as far as the on the field matters of the Royals, you guys did 140 games. You traveled all over. And by the end of the year, were you absolutely shot, or did you make it okay?
I made it okay. It was interesting because I came from St. Louis, where the setup was a little bit different. There were a few people that split the responsibilities, and then the flip side of that was that you worked all year long. So I might have done 90 games instead of 140, and then they weren't all as the host of the show. But then I was going to do hockey and do some football and all that kind of stuff. And so I really didn't know what it was going to be like to do 140 games, coming from a job where I would maybe go on the road with the Cardinals for 7 or 8 days, come home and say, okay, I'm going to take a week off. And here it was, you know, you go on the road for 7 days or 10 days, and then it's a day off, if that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, there were stretches where it was, see, we got 20 games in a row, and then we got a day off, and then you're working another 14 games. Kind of lightened a little bit in September with Fox Sports' football schedule, so you ended up with some more weekends off. But I wondered, and I really didn't know the answer to it, but I found myself loving going to the ballpark every day. We've got good guys to work with that are all pretty willing to come on camera with me. And so it made the job. I mean, let's be honest, by the end of September, unless there's October baseball coming where you're rejuvenated anyway, you're ready to take a little break, just like the players are, maybe more mental for us, or just getting a chance to check in and be with the family. And at this point of the year, probably like a lot of the players, I've got the itch right now.
Being in St. Louis, a program that has had success, even just recently here, then come over to Kansas City, are you starting to see some similarities? Are you starting to see Kansas City pointed in the right way? Are they taking some ideas from other Major League Baseball programs? Where are they at in their development compared to how St. Louis got to the point they were?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because in St. Louis's case, they made some great trades over the years, you know, and to be able to get Mark McGwire and to be able to stumble into, and let's be honest, everybody stumbled into or nobody stumbled into Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, the Royals, he was in their backyard, they should have had him. Well, there are 28 other teams that didn't want him, and one team was lucky enough to get him in the Cardinals. So they had some things fall their way. But, you know, it's interesting because in the last few years, the Cardinals' focus has been, we've got to build our minor league system because we don't have a strong minor league system. We need the players to bring up, kind of like the Yankees used to do before they spent ridiculous money on everybody, to be able to develop the Derek Jeters of the world and the Mariano Riveras and do all that kind of stuff. I think the Royals are on the right track. You never know until years later, just like the NFL draft.
Yeah.
You don't know on day one. But some of the picks they've had the last few years, Eric Hosmer, by all accounts, is going to be an absolute stud. Again, you don't really know. You know, and you go back the last few years of what they've done. And then I think the big question now, you look at going a few years in advance. I think now's the time where you're going to start to see an Alex Gordon turn the corner. And if you talk to a lot of scouts around baseball, that's what they're saying. Alex is very close. Billy Butler. So some of those kids that were drafted a few years ago, I think are probably ready to turn the corner, and then there's a little bit of a snowball effect there.
Joel, we've talked about the glasses freeing up some money once Dayton Moore took over as the general manager of this club. Okay, we trade for Coco Crisp in an outfield, which many people thought, we got a pretty good outfield. Sell us on Coco Crisp. Can you do that?
I think so. I mean, the thing is they wanted some speed. Now, they did have some speed in Joey Gathright, but I think we all know, and I love Joey, but Joey wasn't going to be starting on this team. I mean, Joey on this team was a fourth, maybe fifth outfielder, and you know, if the back comes around later, fine. But Joey was in a role where he was playing good defense, he was running well, and he was a good bunter, but you couldn't necessarily count on him to get the hits. So who's your leadoff guy? Where does the speed come from? And how do you get that good defensive center fielder? Because if you don't have Joey, David DeJesus is your center fielder. I know that they would much prefer David be at one of those corner outfield positions, and David will be the first to say he thinks he's a left fielder, or he could play right field. So you've now moved him over to where he belongs. You've got Crisp in center field. You've got a guy that when you talk about coming into your baseball prime, he's only 29 years old, so he's at that age. It's not like, I mean, you know the name for a couple of reasons. He was with Boston, and you know the name because who else has a serial name? You know, so you feel like, you know, as long as that guy's been in baseball, you've heard that name. But 29 years old is still a nice age. So, you know, is he going to be a great leadoff hitter? I don't know. We'll see. But he's going to be a nice veteran presence that plays defense very well. He's got the ability to hit. And I think what he does is enable you to move DeJesus not only out of center field, but out of that leadoff spot. And David's not necessarily a leadoff guy, but you could, you know, kind of throw him everywhere. And the move that I really like is Mike Jacobs. And that took a little bit of abuse in the paper and among some critics around baseball because, well, wait a minute, they said that they were going to build this team with on-base percentage. And Mike Jacobs doesn't have much of an on-base percentage, but I think his on-base was like 1% below maybe Jose Guillen's last year. But, you know, if you look at the different knocks that people had on Jose Guillen last year, I never heard anybody say, man, that guy doesn't get on base enough. Because, you know, who says that about a 3-4-5 hitter? You're not looking for your middle-of-the-lineup guy to get on base. You want him to knock people in.
Power.
Mike
power.
Jacobs should be able to do that.
Joel Goldberg is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Royals Caravan is at Skeeter Barnes until 7 o'clock. Come out and see what's going on. Get the autograph. Got a lot of great guys here. Mitch Meyer is one of those. Where is he going
to
fit in?
I don't know. He's going to have to fight for a job, but I think that he did a very good job of impressing the organization last year. And the thing about Mitch is that he is a guy that is extremely athletic, and we talked about it with some of the schools that we were at today throughout Nebraska on the caravan here, is that he brings a football mentality to the outfield. Not all that different than Joey Gathright, flying in the walls, doing all those things. I mean, Mitch Meyer was an all-state quarterback in Michigan, could have played quarterback in college, was close to playing potentially football and baseball for Michigan, and then ended up going to Toledo just to play baseball. He's got to prove himself at this level, but and people have seen him certainly in Nebraska at Omaha. He's got a lot of ability, still learning, but he's going to start hitting that age now where you see the development too, at 26 years old. And what really impressed me about Mitch last year was people will remember in Cleveland him taking that ball. He got beamed in the face, you know, one of those scary incidents where you know, crumbles to the ground, and you just kind of hold your breath. And I will forever remember seeing him the next day getting on the plane. I was still on the bus and watching the players get on the plane, and his eyes are swollen shut, and he's carrying a big, huge manila envelope, which had all the x-rays in it. I'm thinking, man, how is this guy, you know, I waited a week to even get him on TV with us because he was so black and blue and eyes swollen shut. And he came back from it, and it looked like maybe his timing might have been off a little bit, but he didn't look afraid. And so that showed me something. But we know there's a crowded outfield, so can he be that fifth guy at this point? He's got the defensive ability, can run. So that certainly is a possibility.
Obviously, you know, Joel, we can talk all day and break down every position.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you on leading up to the season. I'm sure hopefully we'll get that opportunity. But Kansas City, when they go back to their prime, it was always done through pitching.
Right.
And Gil Mesh leads the way and really kind of maybe turned the corner as far as a Royal starter last year.
Yeah, and same for Zach with his maturity with Zach Greinke. But, you know, if you look at these guys and then we can, you know, get into what's behind them, you know, if you're labeling a guy, and we all like to label guys, is he a one, is he a two, is he a three? I don't know if Gil Mesh is a number one on every single team. What I do know is that every team in baseball would want him on their staff. And he wouldn't be a four or a five. I think on the Yankees rotation where you're talking about a Sabathia being there and a Burnett being there, and oh, by the way, spending all that money doesn't guarantee anything. The Yankees keep forgetting that memo. They haven't won a World Series since 2000. But let me get back on tangent here.
No, that's okay. If you want to bash the Yankees, we got all night.
I'm not even bashing them. I'm just saying, you know, let everybody predict them to win the World Series like people did with Detroit last year. I didn't think Detroit was going to win it. Of course, I thought Cleveland was going to win the division, but that's a whole other story. But you know, money doesn't solve everything. You got to spend smart. And it's funny because in the case of Gil Mesh, Royals were ripped left and right. They're increasing the market for players and 5 years for $55 million. Now every pitcher is going to command money that they don't deserve. There are probably 29 other teams in baseball right now that would be happy to pay the final 3 years of Gil Mesh's contract. So whatever he is, he's the Royals' number one, or maybe 1A and Mesh is 1B. But the fact of the matter is not too many teams have that reliable of a number one and a number two. The Royals have that, and so that's where then everything needs to fall into place afterwards. And as long as I think this rotation doesn't have a bunch of number fives after, if it's 1-2-5-5-5, but boy, Kyle Davies showed in September last year that he could very well be a legit three. Still got to prove more, but I like the background with the Atlanta Braves.
Coach Haver?
And Luke definitely can be that, and Luke is still growing. And it's too bad that he got hurt.
Very inconsistent so far.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, awfully. It's just, I mean, I hate to look at wins and losses for a pitcher, no matter what. I mean, I've thought this forever. Wins and losses are based on so much more than what a pitcher does. And so you look at a 6-12 record. Yes, he needs to become more consistent. But I thought it was a very good learning experience from just as 2006 when he came up in September, or pardon me, 2007, was a good learning experience for him just to get up and pitch in relief and pitch against the Yankees his first time out. Last year was a great experience, and I watched an incredible maturation from Luke, and I joke with him about this, that the first day that he got called up, which I think was like the third week of April, gets his first major league start, called up from Omaha, it's against Oakland, and I'm standing outside the first base dugout, and I watch him. He's a pretty nice, mellow guy, you know, good kid, and I watch him walking in with Bob McClure from the bullpen, and he looks like he's about to go 12 rounds with Tyson or, you know, the Holyfield or whoever. I mean, he looks like he's going to kill somebody, and he's breathing out his nose, and he's going to and you want that, but at the same time, what he learned and matured over the year was how to kind of control that energy. Use it for good, but stay within yourself and be calm. So I think that it was a very beneficial year for him. Too bad that he got hurt with the rib and the side injury. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Need to get more consistent. But he could be that number three or that number four. And then as far as that five goes, maybe it's Horacio Ramirez.
Maybe it's
Brian Bannister. Don't rule Brian Bannister out. The question now is, do we get the Brian Bannister from the first year, the Brian Bannister from the second year? And I know a lot of people seem to think, oh, once the sophomore slump is over, you're fine. I don't necessarily buy it. I don't know the answer to it. But I do know that Banny was working on things all year. He likes to work and figure things out. Hopefully he learned a lot from last year, and maybe he could be that three or the four.
Joel, we'll let you get out of here with this last thought. Everybody's optimistic at this time of the year. Seeing what the division has and what the trades and what has happened in the offseason, where are the Royals going to fall? We talked early on in the show tonight that we kind of thought the goal last year was get to 500.
Yep.
Well, they fell a little short of that because of two extended losing streaks.
Right.
So maybe this year they wanted to be a little above 500, maybe challenge for the crown. What's realistic? What's the organization want this year?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously the organization will never put a number on anything. No organization ever will, except for to say that we strive to be the best team and win the division.
Yeah.
And you know, because everybody, if you don't want that.
Good Lord, oil in the creek don't rise. Well, yeah, it's that deal.
And those things, too, among others. So let's talk about it like fans. I mean, if they were to go 81-81 this year, would people be happy with it? I think they would. I mean, I don't know if that is a slight step back. Maybe people were a little bit overexcited about last year, but they've added the players and enough talent that there's no reason why they should be short of 81. And maybe it's even better than that. I mean, I think anything in the 80s will definitely get people excited. They need to avoid the long losing streak. I mean, good teams don't have losing streaks that are that long. You can't have double-digit losing streaks. It not only takes the life out of a team, it takes the life out of your fan base, and it's hard for them to show up.
And the announcers.
Well, we suck it up, and, you know. One day at a time. One inning at a time, one broadcast at a time, you know, all that good stuff. But you know what? They're going to continue to improve. They've gone from 62 to 69 to 75. So, but not that that's the magic formula, but by that standard, they should be somewhere around 81, 82 wins. The talent is better. Second year under Trey Hillman, he learned a lot last year. And then the last thing I'll say is I took a tour of the stadium last week, and it is going to be incredible. And that's just me talking and having been to stadiums all around the league. This was one of the crown jewels anyway. I felt like it when I visited with the Cardinals all the time, that for one of the quote-unquote older stadiums, it's a pretty good venue. It's unique, you know, the fountains. You know, now all the amenities are going to be just first rate, as good as anywhere in the country, and plenty of stuff for kids to do. And I mean, the only bad thing is if you bring your kid, you might end up, you know, back at the carousel and the little K and forget about what's going on. But they got a big screen back there, so you can see what's going on too. It's going
to
be awesome.
Joel, if we're going to go to two ballparks this summer, have you seen them all? Where do we go?
I've been to all of them, and the only one now, the only two that I'll fall short on are Washington's new one. I was at RFK, and the Mets new one I'll not get to see. I mean, if you're looking for a Royals game and a cool venue, if you can get out to Pittsburgh with the Royals playing there in an interleague play, so that's not going to happen all the time. And I know that's you know, you got to deal with a flight or a nice long road trip with some friends or something like that. Pittsburgh, to me, is one of the top two or three ballparks in the country, but nobody talks about it because they're not good. They don't get a crowd. The good news of that is you don't need to make reservations for tickets or purchase them in advance. Go, show up, buy a cheap seat, move down. The view at that stadium in Pittsburgh is second to none. I've got a lot of favorites here, but as far as the Royals playing, you know, if you haven't been up to Minnesota, I would assume a lot of people have. Not that I'm a fan of the Metrodome, but it's the last year, so this might be the year to do it just for the sake of it. And I love the way the Twins play baseball. So those would be a couple, obviously. And then the Royals are in Houston for interleague play. Again, you got to do a little planning on that, find a flight on Southwest or something like that. Houston's a unique ballpark. I know a lot of people bash it, but I spent a lot of years there, regular season and playoffs, and that's a cool one, too. So I would think this year any of those two would be good ones.
Awesome. Well, we'll mark her down. And, Joel, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being part of the caravan here in Kearney, and hopefully we'll see you down in Kansas City this summer.
Thanks for having me. Get to the commercial breaks. These nachos are getting cold. Not for me, for you guys.
No, guess what? As a guest of the Doug and Daddy Show, you get free nachos.
No,
that's
I can't.
All we have.
I got to go back and sign things, and then I'll have sour cream all over my face.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, guys.
Special Doug and Daddy Show. The Royals caravan is here at the Skeeter Barnes location in Kearney. And we are glad to have the Royals with us, and we hope that you'll come out and see us as well. A Royals Hall of Famer, Dennis Leonard, along with current players Mike Aviles, Mitch Meyer, Luke Hochaver. We just talked to Joel Goldberg as well here at the Skeeter Barnes going on here. And I think maybe we're about ready to have a slugger sighting. And, yes, we're right by the door, and you can see a little youngster there, and his eyes just absolutely lit up. It was like seeing Santa Claus, Slugger, come through the door. It was outstanding, Tony.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even your eyes, but they were very close to lighting up like that youngster over there who can't be more than four.
Well, he came from the outside, and I think Slugger's probably going to be uncomfortable in about 5 minutes, but right now I think he's feeling pretty good in there.
It's all great. It's all great. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and don't forget to come out and see us. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Occasionally, some stuff on the Doug and Danny Show may be offensive. The good stuff.
You want the best value available on ATVs. So get to Kearney Yamaha to save up to $1,500 on a sport ATV or get the best deals on a utility ATV or side-by-side. For a top-notch utility ATV, check out the fuel-injected 550cc water-cooled Grizzly with fully independent suspension and power steering. Or when you need room for two and still want to haul up to 400 pounds, check out the Yamaha Rhino.
This is Terry Lobig from Kearney Yamaha. For a limited time only, we have Yamaha utility ATVs and side-by-sides priced to move. If you're wanting to get an ATV for fun, stop in and save $1,500 on brand new Yamaha Sport ATVs.
Whether you want the Raptor 700 with its powerful fuel-injected engine or the torquey Raptor 350, you'll save $1,500 at Kearney Yamaha. Call 1-800-THE-ATVs or go online to KearneyYamaha.com. ATVs are recommended only for use by those age 16 and older. Yamaha recommends an approved training course. See your dealer or call 1-800-877-2887. ATVs can be hazardous to operate.
End joint pain naturally with Joint Stress RX. Many people don't know that there are safe and natural ways to decrease pain and increase your mobility. At the Hastings and Kearney GNCs, our staff specializes in providing you the information needed to attain the perfect supplement for you and your needs. Joint Stress RX is one of our best joint formulas, but we have many options to treat what ails you. So run, don't walk, and let our knowledgeable staff find you an all-natural solution from your head down to your toes. Now at the Hastings and Kearney GNCs.
Today's training tip brought to you by See the Trainer. Most ankle injuries are the result of rolling over at the outset of the ankle. The ligaments can be stretched or torn, and the treatment depends upon the extent of the damage. Treatment should always include rest, ice, compression, and elevation, or RICE for short, until you have a chance to see a healthcare professional. Then you may be placed in a cast, splint, or ankle brace with or without crutches. The treatment emphasis should be on early protective movement and at the same time preventing motion in the direction of the injury. The air cast ankle brace is often used in the initial phase of the injury due to its ability to provide two of the essential components of immediate care, compression and protection. You can continue to move the foot up and down, but not in and out. If you've had an ankle injury, See the Trainer has a wide variety of ankle braces, ankle supports, and walking boots in stock. Whether you're a competitive athlete or just a casual walker, See the Trainer has the product that will get you back in the game. To learn more, visit them at 3819 2nd Avenue or go to seethetrainer.com. See the Trainer, 237-9244.
ESPN Radio.
Mike and Mike in the Morning.
Criticizing the fans for not knowing when to cheer. You know what? They know when to cheer when you do something worthy of cheering. If that isn't the ultimate in just shut up.
Mike and Mike in the Morning.
On ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a slight chance of snow developing tonight with a low temperature of 24 degrees and west winds at 10 to 20. A slight chance of snow showers tomorrow with temperatures falling throughout the day due to strong northwest winds at 15 to 30 miles an hour. Thursday, a blend of clouds and sun with a high of 17. Currently, it's 43.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Tonight, live from Skeeter Barnes here in Kearney, just off Interstate 80. Why are we here? Well, because the 2009 Kansas City Royals Caravan is in town, and it's a fan caravan. Tony, that's what we talk about all the time here. This is for the fans. The initial big line has kind of subsided here a little bit. They'll be here until 7 o'clock tonight. Come out, get an autograph, get a picture, chat with the Royals about the season that's upcoming. Because everybody's optimistic this time of the year.
Doug, let's chat with a real live one right now. Luke Hochaver joins us.
It's good to chat with a live one. But Luke Hochaver, the number one pick in 2006, what happened to the hair?
Chopped it.
Is that an off-season regimen? Will we see it back once the season gets going?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's been that way for way too long. Got sick of it and had to make a change.
Well, we got a chance to catch up with Luke during the season last year, one of the Royals that we had here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And I guess just take us through now that first season is in the books and not looking at the numbers, but just personally, first season in Major League Baseball, it has to be very nerve-wracking trying to go through everything the first time. It's behind you, your assessment of year one.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a big learning curve getting to the big leagues. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, obviously you learn and you grow from. But, you know, I think having a year of experience under my belt going into this season, obviously I feel a lot more confident. I know what to expect. You know, I know the things that I needed to get better at from last year and carry them into this year, work on them in the off season, and then, you know, come into 2009 and be ready to go. And so, you know, overall, I felt that, you know, last year was a good year for me, you know, from a learning standpoint and, you know, just kind of getting accustomed to you know, playing in the big leagues every day and facing that type of caliber hitters, you know, day in and day out. And so, you know, I felt it was good, you know. I had my ups and downs. I took my lumps, but, you know, in situations like that, you know, you learn the most. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to 2009.
Luke, to come into any situation as a rookie, obviously people are going to catch some grief, but I'm guessing being the number one overall draft pick, something nobody's going to take away from you. But were the guys harder on you than anybody else?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I you know, kept to myself and, you know, stayed by my locker and, you know.
You weren't snapping Jose Guillen on the ass with towels or anything.
No. I just made sure I minded my P's and Q's and, you know, I knew my role and where I stood, you know, with everyone on the team. And, you know, as long as you do that, you'd be all right.
Obviously, Luke, you've been a winner your whole life. The Royals, wins and losses, not there the last few years. Do you feel it is a winning environment? Do you feel that it's coming? I mean, I guess this is what the fans want to know. You're a winner in high school. You're a winner in college. What about now, not just you personally, but maybe the atmosphere or the ambiance of the locker room?
No doubt about it. I feel that it is the winning atmosphere. You know, then again, I mean, a lot of people, well, what some people may not realize is that, you know, we are so young. I mean, the pitching staff last year, you know, three of us were 24. Brian Bannister was 27. And obviously Gil Mesh, that has a lot of time in the big league.
47.
No,
the grandpa.
But, you know, and then, I mean, you go through our lineup and we're just so young that, you know, a team like that, you know, I experienced it myself. You know, you take your lumps when you get to the big leagues. You know, very often or, you know, very few times do you see guys just, you know, come to the big leagues and just go off. I mean, yeah, there are the cases, you know, but then again, a lot of times, you know, it's from what I've seen, it's, you know, a couple years, guys getting a rhythm, guys getting a groove, guys get comfortable. And so, you know, I think that's where we're at. And I mean, every player on that team is a winner. You know, every player on that team's come from a winning background, and every player knows how to win. And the guys work hard. Every guy in the clubhouse is a quality guy. And, you know, we mesh really well. And so, I mean,
Gil mesh.
Yeah, I see. I was
doing there. You see what he's doing there to you, Daddy? That's what he's doing.
But, no, I love the clubhouse. I love all the guys on the team. And, I mean, that's our main goal coming into spring training, you know, is to get in the playoffs. And then from the playoffs, anything can happen.
Luke, can you talk about playing for Trey Hillman? And I think a lot of people would have probably thrown in the towel last season. You guys go out and have the best September of anybody in baseball. I seem to think that seems to be a direct reflection of him and what he brings every day.
No doubt about it. I mean, for a ball club to do that, like you said, at the end of the season, I mean, that does speak volumes for how he handles the team. You know, that speaks volumes for the rest of the coaching staff and also the character of the team, you know, even into the front office, obviously. But, you know, it was a really, really good atmosphere in September. You know, we just, you know, we went through a couple skids, but, you know, everybody just kept telling each other, you know, we need to finish strong. We need to finish strong and take it into the next season. And, you know, we did that. And, you know, I think we definitely grew from it as a team and you know, opened almost our own eyes to knowing that, hey, you know, we can be in this next year.
Talking with Kansas City Royals starting pitcher Luke Hochaver on the Doug and Daddy Show, because the Royals fan caravan is at Skeeter Barnes. They'll be here until 7. Stop by and check it out. Kids' meals. And, of course, I can't believe when Slugger walks around, everybody's, the little kids' eyes just whoosh right out of their head. But Luke, Daddy, I think, wants to know about ending up to Tennessee and ending up with the Royals. And there was the year in between and all that kind of thing. And we asked you about this last year, it being a business. Is it so much relief that that part of it is behind you and you just have to worry about going out and throwing the ball?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, you know, there is a business side to baseball. But I mean, the main thing is I'm a baseball player, you know, I'm not a businessman. And so, you know, just being able to focus on that, you know, is relieving, you know, and it's, you know, it's, it's back to, you know how it was before, and just a game, and going out there and enjoying it.
Well, I'm planning on hitting the lottery. What should I do when I get all that money?
Whatever makes you happy.
What's the first thing? Did you buy something when you got that initial check?
You know what? I really didn't even have time to sit down and, you know, say this is what I want to buy. I mean, I was as soon as I signed, I was on the road, and I was playing in Burlington, Iowa, and then I'll shift off to Double A, and then I was, I didn't have much time to think. I mean, as soon as I signed, it was a whirlwind.
It's a different experience when you were the whirlwind you went on. When you hear the horror stories about people that have battled year, and I'm not saying year and year, I'm saying years in those minor leagues, and finally get that chance. Do you just shake your head and go, "How did they do it?"
Yeah, I mean, the minor leagues, it's tough. It is tough, you know, especially coming from, you know, a first class, you know, Division I baseball program like Tennessee. I mean, we flew everywhere. We stayed in NBC Suites. It was first class. Our clubhouses were nice. We played in great ballparks, you know, and then I was introduced to the Midwest League. And then, it's kind of an eye-opener, but, it is tough. Getting through the minor leagues, but then again, it makes it that much sweeter when guys do, then again, they're playing, everybody's playing a game that they love, for a living. So
there's always a story out there, but Colorado took it a step farther and Tampa Bay took it a step farther the last 2 years. They were more than a story. They went all the way to the World Series. As a young team, do you guys see that as why not us? And not necessarily why not this exact second or this exact year, but does that give hope? Does that even think about that kind of thing, that it is possible to go from sub 500 all the way to the top in 1 year?
No doubt about it. I mean, we wouldn't be showing up to spring training if that wasn't our thought process, And I mean, that's what makes it fun. That's what drives guys. That's what makes guys want to get better. Because that's what it's all about in the end, you can have, as good of numbers as you want, but, The main thing is getting into the playoffs and trying to win a World Series, because that's what you remember. And so, that's our goal, and that's our goal every year. And for the most part, I think every guy on the team is their mindset coming into this year.
Luke, you played high school baseball in Colorado, Ray, Colorado, not all that far from right here in Kearney. A lot of people out there, I think, wonder, how did Mike Anderson, how do we miss this guy? Boy, that would have been a great 1-2 punch with you and Jabba. And yeah. Then you just have to go to Tennessee.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, I really wasn't that big of a recruit out of high school. There's a lot of work that I needed to do to get better. Nebraska was coming off, being in the World Series like the past 2 years in a row or something, I wasn't a high-profile guy out of high school, and I think they're kind of going after more of the high-profile guys, if taking me, could have been a gamble, just like me going to Tennessee and, everything working out, but I know Mike Anderson well, and he's a great guy and a great coach, and, he still gives me heck to this day about it,
You got a little brother now, headed to Tennessee or playing at Tennessee?
He's at Tennessee this year, yeah.
Well, it looks like good things are in store for the Hochevers, and face it, Tony, scenery in Lincoln, scenery in Knoxville.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Rocky Top, I'm looking forward to making the trip down there for a football or maybe even a baseball game sometime, because I haven't been there, and I know that is well worth the trip. Luke, thanks for the time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you when the season gets rolling, and a best of luck here in 2009.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
You bet. Luke Hochevar, Kansas City Royals starting pitcher out of the University of Tennessee, and, of course, just across the border there, played his high school baseball in Colorado. Part of the Royals caravan here at Skeeter Barnes, 2009. Still a little bit of time to run on out to get your autograph, get your picture, and see what's going on with the Kansas City Royals. We're glad to have them here. It's their one trip per year up into the Tri-Cities. It's their only stop in the Tri-Cities this time around. So no stops in Grand Island or Hastings, but some great opportunities to come out and meet some fine young men, and, of course, Dennis Leonard.
Dennis, 103.
Who's also a fine man.
Yeah, 103. Great mustache.
Got to get rid of the young.
Great mustache.
He is a veteran, yes. He's a great, great player. Hey, we're going to take a break here on this special edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth, let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
Meet number one draft pick from 2006, Luke Hochaver, American League Rookie of the Year candidate Mike Aviles, and projected starting outfielder Mitch Meyer. Join Doug and Daddy for a live broadcast from 5 to 7. Enjoy Skeeter Barnes Family Night specials and lots of baseball talk. Join the Royals Caravan, presented by Fox Sports Midwest, and locally by ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. The Royals Winter Caravan, tonight at Skeeter Barnes. Join us live for Doug and Daddy from 5 to 7.
Here's a stimulus package from the Bike Shed that will directly affect you in two ways, in your pocketbook and in your quality of life. Right now, the Bike Shed is taking $100 off any treadmill or elliptical they sell, and they make it easy to do with 6 months, no interest, and no payments with approved credit. Wait, there's more stimulating news. You get free delivery and setup. And if you make your purchase before Valentine's Day, the Bike Shed pays the sales tax. Find out more. Head to the Shed, the Bike Shed, 18th and 2nd Avenue, Cardiff.
You've been told all your life that there's only two things you can count on, death and taxes, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, here's a third thing. Yeah, buddy, you can count on Jeff Cernica from Holstein to be stretching out of that frosty fridge recliner from Slumberland on Super Bowl Sunday. Jeff's the winner of the ESPN Radio Superstation Slumberland Bowl Bash. Jeff wins a frosty fridge recliner from Slumberland that has it all. Built-in fridge, cup holders, massage, and heat. Let's see, beer, football, and a warm butt. Is that going to work for you, Jeff?
No, I think that'll work out great.
Plus, stuff to fill it from Schroeder Smoked Foods and merchandise and tickets from the Tri-City Storm. So, let's review. That's three things you can count on. Death, taxes, and Jeff enjoying his new recliner from Slumberland. Oh, and here's one more thing you can count on. And that's what station is Jeff's favorite.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Count on it.
More exciting high school basketball action comes your way on our network of stations this week and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tuesday night on Power 99 FM, the Ravenna Blue Jays travel to Minden to take on the Whippets. Girls at 6:15, the boys at 8. With more basketball coming your way on ESPN, KHAS, and The Breeze 94.5 this week. But it all starts Tuesday with Ravenna at Minden on Power 99 and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Go and Van Pelt shoot the breeze with Colt McCoy.
What'd you do Saturday night?
I called up some buddies because I was back home. We went out spotlighting.
What the heck spotlighting?
You go out and you get a spotlight and you just kind of look for varmints. Armadillos, you know, just anything.
Catch those varmints, Tirico and Van Pelt, noon weekdays on ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a slight chance of snow developing tonight with a low temperature of 24 degrees and west winds at 10 to 20. A slight chance of snow showers tomorrow with temperatures falling throughout the day due to strong northwest winds at 15 to 30 miles an hour. Thursday, a blend of clouds and sun with a high of 17. Currently, it's 43.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, a special edition from Skeeter Barnes. The 2009 Kansas City Royals caravan is in town. They're here for a few more minutes, so don't miss your opportunity to come out and see them. Even though gas is not $4 a gallon anymore, it still costs to go down to Kansas City. And you don't get to go right up and slap hands and take a picture and have an autograph with these guys every day. And we're getting to see some of the new young talent here in Kearney tonight, Tony, that I know is very eager. And the one thing, I think one of the reasons that this team did so well at the end of August and throughout September last year is because they were so young and because they were still pretty hungry. And
well,
I'm not talking about these nachos either.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The hunger showed in September. Best record in all of baseball. And the hunger showed in the outfield with Mitch Meyer contributing. Mitch, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, what do you think about this whole experience so far? There's the baseball, then there's the outside baseball, meeting the fans. There's so many things besides just playing between the chalk lines, but you got your crack at Kansas City last year. You also got cracked, but you have to really be looking forward to making the club here again and maybe seeing a lot more playing time in 09.
Yeah, that's obviously, you know, my goal is come off last year. I did well last year when I got the opportunity, and to just, you know, kind of build on that and come into spring training and fight for a job.
Doug, I'm gonna tell you one thing. When he was in college, Toledo, number two in the nation, number two hitter in the entire nation. Now, when you say coming from the baseball power of Toledo. How did that come about? And obviously a two or three sport athlete in high school, and you had some opportunity to do some different things.
I don't know. You know, I ended up Toledo. I still don't know how my high school or my college baseball coach pulled me away from playing football at Michigan, but he somehow did. and that's the best decision I ever made. And I went down there and they worked great with me, and I was able to kind of become the player I am today, you know, through that as a stepping stone. So, I don't know. I just worked every day with our hitting coach down there, and one thing just kind of led to another, and next thing you know, things just started falling in place.
Well, yeah, Daddy, things could be worse. He could be a chief.
Yeah. Or a lion.
Struggling.
Yeah, or a lion right there in Michigan. Not everybody gets that opportunity, obviously. You look at a couple slugs like us, we were just glad to be on a varsity team somewhere playing. When you have that opportunity to make a choice, what is, you know, to play football or to play baseball collegiately, professional, what did it come down to for you?
For me, it was the opportunity to play. I knew as a freshman I was going to go into University of Toledo as a catcher and pretty much start as a freshman and start my career that way. Where at Michigan I wasn't necessarily undersized, but I had a lot of work to break that lineup. You know, and I was a defensive player, and I had a long road ahead of me. I was going to get redshirted. I knew that, and you know, it was more of a battle. And I knew I could go to Toledo, start, and I knew I had a better opportunity to play professionally and follow that dream than go to University of Michigan.
Mitch Meyer, when you go to spring training, you look at that outfield. You see Coco Crisp. You see DeJesus. You see Tien. You see Guillen. Where does Mitch Meyer fit in on this Kansas City Royals team?
Hopefully, as that fifth guy. I mean, you know, those guys are all great players, and they all bring a lot to the team. But I also do too. You know, I like last year. A lot of times, I'd go in late and I'd play defense late. You know, they'd take Hosey out in the eighth, ninth inning. I'd go in there to play, or guys need days off, or you know, little injuries, this and that. So, and I can play all three, and they know that. And you know, then when I get there, I can also help offensively.
I'm sure you guys hear the rumors about TN going to be traded. It's kind of a foregone conclusion in a lot of places, not necessarily in Kansas City, maybe. But when you hear things like that, does it affect you at all?
No, I've you know, throughout my career, starting at a young age, I've stopped worrying about the things I can control or that I can't control, and just worry about the things I can control. And as long as I just focus on that, getting better, helping the team, stuff I can, you know, do, the rest will, you know, fall in place. And you know, as far as the trades and this and that, that's, you know, I'm sure Mark say the same thing. That's not something that, you know, it's out of his hands and it's out of all of ours. So, you know, we'll see what happens, and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Obviously, the youth movement is one of the big things that keeps optimism among Kansas City Royals fans here. How do you guys take that? Do you feed from that? Is there pressure from that? Is it not even talked about or bother you at all or even affect you at all?
Yeah, I mean, but I think that time is about over as far as being able to say it's still a youth movement. I mean, there are young guys. Alex is young, Billy's young, Luke's young. I'm still young, you know, at that level. But the core of the team has gotten to the point where we need to start really playing. You know, you can't. You know, I think it was easy for guys years ago. You know, at the beginning, it's always a youth movement. So team wasn't expected. We're now finally, I think, the team's expected to play a little better, and I think the team expects that out of themselves. So I think this year is something that, you know, we need to finally start, you know, playing a little better and start competing in this division.
Mitch, when you get around people like a Dennis Leonard, and I know you guys are incorporated with a lot of the former great players, and just the ability to have them take you back in time when the Royals were one of those two or three teams, elite teams that people were looking to hunt down year in and year out. What's that experience been like?
Oh, it's great. You know, here on Dennis, I mean, I played for Frank for 2 years to see George Brett, you know, in spring training and then throughout the season. I mean, it's great, and that's what they, you know, they keep, you know, pressuring us with is that, you know, you gotta keep, you gotta have the hunger, you know, is what they say. You know, you gotta want it, and that's something that, you know, like I said, the youth out of there, I mean, that's we can't use that anymore, and we gotta start really, you know, it's up to the guys on the team to really start wanting it, and like you see the other teams, you know, they want to win and come together and start, you know, producing.
Well, just a few minutes left here with the Royals at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, and Mitch, I want to ask one more question before we let you get out of here. Being a Michigan native, the first time that you got to play professional baseball, they put you in at against Detroit. What was that like playing? I mean, were you a Tiger fan growing up, I guess, first of all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I loved all four of the sports in Detroit. And so, yeah, that was a thrill. So I can't remember. I think my first at-bat was against Kenny Rogers.
Well, the roaster.
Yeah, I sat there. I remember stepping in the box, and I was like, I looked out, and I was like, oh, boy, you know? I was like, this is the first. I thought everyone in the stands could see my knees shaking.
Well, an experience like none other. That one time feeling, I guess it's going to be a great season. I guess a lot of anticipation from anybody that we've talked to here. Mitch has probably got the most on the line, I guess, Tony.
Well, yeah, and I think, Mitch, what's the experience like, just following up on that a little bit, the initial call that said you were going to be a Kansas City Royal and going to play with the big boys?
Yeah, back in 2006, and we actually got done with our double-A season. We lost in the playoffs. I drove straight home with my wife. We got home, and I think it was a day or so later, and I was getting ready to go to bed. I think it was late at night, and my phone rang, and I saw the 816 area code. You know, and any time I see the 816 area code, I'm like, I know someone's calling from there, so I answered it, and it was actually Derek Ladner, and he's like, "You sitting down?" And I was like, and as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, boy. You know, and he told me the good news. And J.J. Piccolo was also there on the phone. So I was beside myself. And, you know, I got off the phone. I was calling my parents. I was jumping for joy. It was really awesome.
Didn't have to carry the luggage. The room's taken care of. It's all good stuff. Well, Mitch, best of luck this year with the Royals. Thanks for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And enjoy the rest of the caravan, because I know you guys got a few more stops the next couple days.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show because we're wrapping up from Skeeter Barnes. Still a couple of minutes. If you're in the area, stop by just off I-80 here in Kearney for the 2009 Kansas City Royals caravan. We'll be back and start to wrap things up right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Please turn your head and cough.
Very few things in life are more uncomfortable.
Hogan's has it, and to celebrate our one-year anniversary in downtown Kearney, we want to get rid of it. That's right, we need to make room for new spring items, and that means huge savings in every department. From now through January 18th, you'll save 25% off every pair of shoes in the store. All apparel will be discounted from 20 to 40%, and you'll save 20% on bags, socks, hats, and accessories. All baseball and softball gloves will be at 15% off. So come save and celebrate our anniversary sale at Hogan Sporting Goods, 2412 Central Avenue, Kearney.
Hi, this is Cindy with the Kearney Family YMCA. It's almost 2009, and there is no better time than now to change the way you look and feel. At the Kearney Family YMCA, we welcome a new year and a new you. With new cardio equipment, challenging programs, and a membership category for everyone, this is the place to be. During our Pay the Day promotion in January, the earlier you join, the better the price. So come see what's new at the Kearney Family YMCA, where we build strong kids, strong families, and strong communities.
Meet number one draft pick from 2006, Luke Hochaver, American League Rookie of the Year candidate Mike Avilas, and projected starting outfielder Mitch Meyer. Join Doug and Daddy for a live broadcast from 5 to 7. Enjoy Skeeter Barnes Family Night specials and lots of baseball talk. Join the Royals Caravan, presented by Fox Sports Midwest, and locally by ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. The Royals Winter Caravan, tonight at Skeeter Barnes. Join us live for Doug and Daddy from 5 to 7.
Here it comes again, your favorite, the Home Builders Show. It's January 16th, 17th, and 18th, all under one roof at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Hundreds of ideas for better living. Register for all kinds of prizes. Doors open at 1 o'clock on Friday, 10 a.m. Saturday, 11 a.m. Sunday. There's a nominal entrance fee, no charge for 12 and under. It's the 26th annual Home Builders Show, January 16th, 17th, and 18th. Buffalo County Fairgrounds, Kearney, Nebraska. Presented by the West Central Nebraska Home Builders Association.
Well, Nebraska, here at Big O Tires, we know money's tight right now, and a new vehicle may not be in this year's budget. So at Big O, we want to be your partner to ensure that your current vehicle runs strong and safe during this tough economy. That's why at Big O Tires, you'll get the guaranteed lowest prices on preventative maintenances, like oil changes, transmission and radiator flushes, brakes, fuel system service, shocks, struts, and more. Things will improve, and Big O Tires will be here to help your vehicle last until they do. Tires, service, straight talk. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Here's a stimulus package from the Bike Shed that will directly affect you in two ways, in your pocketbook and in your quality of life. Right now, the Bike Shed is taking $100 off any treadmill or elliptical they sell, and they make it easy to do with 6 months, no interest, and no payments with approved credit. Wait, there's more stimulating news. You get free delivery and setup. And if you make your purchase before Valentine's Day, the Bike Shed pays the sales tax. Find out more. Head to the Shed, the Bike Shed, 18th and 2nd Avenue, Cardiff.
Mike and Mike get a little bathroom humor from Mark Stink Schlereth.
What does it mean to be tough? And Mark pulled his pants and his shorts down to his ankle.
Any number of people could walk in at any moment, and he said to me, see that? No one is going to say a word.
Weekday mornings, wake up to and take Mike and Mike along on your morning drive on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a slight chance of snow developing tonight with a low temperature of 24 degrees and west winds at 10 to 20. A slight chance of snow showers tomorrow with temperatures falling throughout the day due to strong northwest winds at 15 to 30 miles an hour. Thursday, a blend of clouds and sun with a high of 17. Currently, it's 43.
Welcome back to Skeeter Barnes as we wrap up our 2009 Kansas City Royals caravan. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with the Royals Hall of Famer, Dennis Leonard. We're going to chat with him and have him on the program tomorrow morning. We're also going to be talking with the new soccer coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We're going to talk Ron Powell with state basketball and talking about some of the talent in the area for that as well all tomorrow. Eric Strickland will join us on our show on a Thursday, the former Husker going into the Nebraska Basketball Hall of Fame. And, of course, great NBA career for Eric Strickland. He's going to join us on Thursday's show. But, Tony, outstanding night here. Again, want to thank all the folks that came out, enjoyed the Royals company and their hospitality. And it's great to do this every year. And, again, one of the things that we touched on earlier, I think even before the guys rolled in, was it's not just meet and greet all the time and go sit in a restaurant or a mall somewhere and sign autographs. One of the things they're doing tomorrow, and this is just for the kids at Minden, it's not a public event, but they stop and the Royals organization has been donating money to a variety of baseball programs all throughout the Midwest.
Well, it's called Royalty Fields, and then they're doing it in Elwood, they're doing it in Minden. I believe they're at Blue Springs earlier today. It's great where they basically match grants of up to $5,000 to help the baseball diamonds in the villages, in the communities that need it. It's an awesome deal. They're promoting this. We've got Joy is actually along tonight helping and explaining to people what that's all about, how they can get signed up to do it. I believe if you just visit royals.com/royaltyfield, you can learn more about it. If you're you know what? You know, we've brought up Mike Kent having the state tournament in Gibbon. We mentioned the area baseball tournament's getting announced today. If you're one of those fields that could use some renovations, this is an awesome way to do it. And just get on royals.com/royaltyfield. And you'll get all the information you need right there.
And again, for some of the folks maybe in the eastern portion of our listening area, a little east of Hastings, the caravan moves on tomorrow. They will be in Lincoln at Sportscasters from 4 to 5:15, which is on 70th and Adams Street. So if you're driving down the interstate right now going home, well, they're going to be in Lincoln. They're going to be in Omaha tomorrow as well. They'll be at the Hy-Vee at 108th and 4th Street in Omaha tomorrow night. But we want to thank Ben. We want to thank all the Royals for joining us here tonight. And again, don't forget tomorrow on our Doug and Daddy show, among our guests will be Royals Hall of Famer Dennis Leonard. So I guess that's going to take care of our special Doug and Daddy show tonight. Daddy, I can see you already eyeing the food.
Well, I am eyeing the food here at Skeeter Barnes. If you want to stop on out, still $1.99 kids meals all night long.
All you can eat ribs every Tuesday night. And don't forget tomorrow, the 10-ounce prime rib and Thursday steak and shrimp. So for Derek Stenson back at the studio, I'm Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis. Thanks for joining us for the 2009 Royals Caravan here at Skeeter Barnes. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Joe.